Welcome to Everything Cookbooks, the podcast for curious writers, readers, and cooks. This is Molly Stevens. In an earlier episode, my co-hosts and I talked about our experiences working with design teams. But since Andrea, Kate, Kristen, and I are cookbook authors and by no means design experts, we thought it would be helpful and fun to speak with a professional book designer and hear what the process is like from their side of things. To learn more about book design, I reached out to Alice Chow, a San Francisco-based designer who worked for years at Chronicle Books as a senior designer, specializing in cookbooks, and now Alice works as an independent designer and art director. Hey, Alice, welcome to Everything Cookbooks.
Thank you. Nice to be here.
So excited you're here. We've spent a lot of time on this podcast talking about, from the author's standpoint, how a book gets made and how recipes get developed and tested and all of that. And I've certainly worked with book designers on design teams on a number of my own books, but I've never really sat down and talked about the process. So I'm really excited to speak with you. So thanks so much for being here.
Great.
So I guess I'm really like, go to the beginning, because it just sort of boggles my mind that you can do what you do and do it so well. I mean, you've worked on some incredible books and, you know, beautiful and award winning. But where do you start when you get a new project?
Mm-hmm.
What's the first thing?
Well, it really depends on what part of the process the author, him and herself, are in. Usually I will get dropped a full manuscript that's already completely finished. And a lot of times I have to help art direct the photography if there's no photography that comes in with the package. Nowadays, a lot of times the author themselves will have done the photography, so I don't have to do that part. Yeah, and there are other instances where I get dropped in earlier in the process where I get to help shape and mold the book. And mm-hmm. I think for me, that's way more exciting. Because right. I think now, well, at a publisher, you're usually later in the process. But now when I work with authors individually, I can help them even structure the book and help think of how to make the whole book package.
Right. From the very beginning of the process.
Yeah. From the very beginning of the process. And it kind of helps them think about how to structure their content and write the actual recipes themselves. Sometimes it helps to just visualize it from the very beginning instead of just, you know, writing blindly and not knowing kind of what trim size you're going for or things like that.
So it's interesting. You've worked for a long time at Chronicle Books. I think we can say that for a long time as head of.
I was a senior designer and I was specifically in the food and lifestyle group. So most of what I did was cookbooks, but I also did a lot of other, you know, smaller lifestyle books. But my main area of interest was cookbooks.
Cookbooks, right. So, and now working as a freelancer, it's interesting you say how it's changing some in that if you work with an author. Mm-hmm. So that sounds like now more as a freelancer that you're working with an author who's maybe self-publishing or working on their own. So you're connecting earlier.
Yeah, connecting earlier. And I've even helped authors structure their proposals and like design the proposal. So before, when I worked at a publisher, you know, I only get projects that have already been signed up. Like, you know, now I get to work with people who are kind of floating things to agents or big publishing houses and kind of thinking of how to make the proposal look like what the eventual book will be, but kind of knowing it usually won't end up that way. Yeah, it's been exciting kind of being more hands-on with the authors themselves, because a lot of times when I worked at the publishing house, there was always an editor and then, like, you know, the editor will talk to an agent. So there wasn't as much of a direct connection. It really depends on the publishing house and kind of the relationship you have with the house and with the editors that you've signed up with. And I think that's an important thing to consider, actually, when you think about how you want to make your book, like how hands-on do you want to be? How much control or say do you want in the book?
To try to figure out which publishers allow more input from the authors, is what you're saying?
Yeah, I just think some houses are smaller. So obviously then the team is smaller and you just, I think, get a little bit more direct access to your team.
Yeah. So you mentioned the team. So who might be on a design team for a cookbook?
For a cookbook, there's definitely the editor who I turn to. There's usually two types of editors. Like at Chronicle, there was a managing editor who does like the proofreading, copy editing, and kind of managing the schedule. And then the project editor who's more like the voice and the, you know, structuring the book and like doing the author relations. And then as part of the team working in-house at a publisher, there's also many designers. So we get to talk to each other and like bounce ideas off of each other. Whereas, you know, now I'm a freelancer, I work pretty much alone. Mm-hmm. And then there's also a production designer or production coordinator who's the one managing, you know, the actual printing process, getting things shipped, procurement, logistics, all of that stuff. And then even beyond that, there's, of course, the marketing and the publicity. So at a publishing house, I get to talk to all of those people and we have regular meetings within that to like discuss kind of positioning of the book, where we think it might fit, like who are the buyers that might be interested. So that all influences the design decisions we're making. When you're self-publishing, I mean, you kind of have to do all of that on your own, but you actually get way more say in where right. you want to position it and where you want to sell it.
Right. So it's interesting listening to that. It seems like two things happening at the same time, both in your career and in the trends in cookbooks, and that you've gone to a freelance, you know, situation where you work for yourself, and also more and more people are self-publishing.
I think so.
Sounds like. And also, you know, I think because I come from a very traditional background, you know, my first book was over 20 years ago or something. And I know the designer got a printed manuscript, you know, it was a looked like a term paper, right? As pages. And they started there. Whereas now, if you're starting, you know, especially Instagram and TikTok, and we're in such a more visual space that people come to recipe development from a much more visual graphic context.
Yeah. And I think definitely the world of blogs and cookbook, I mean, now there's videos. Those are all influencing how cookbooks are used and how authors think of their content, because it's much easier to publish one recipe, you know, on any kind of website that you want to. It's easy to just write one recipe, but producing a full book is still kind of a big deal. So you kind of need a team to help you think about that. And especially when you're producing a physical object, you kind of need a team to help you, you know, like people who know what books are and like how paper works, how ink works, all of the things that go into book design. I think that's the secondary part of producing a cookbook beyond just the content itself.
Well, let's talk about some of those elements, because I love, you know, the way you just talk about it as an object, because for someone who writes books, you think about the words that go into it, and whether it's the evocative headnotes or the really clearly written recipes or the authoritative background material. But as an object, it also has to have a cohesion. And, you know, what those decisions, I just can't imagine all the decisions you as a book designer or member of the design team make to make it hold together, to make it useful, to make it beautiful, cool, whatever it is you're after.
Yeah. I mean, there are so many decisions and it's so easy to be intimidated by all the decisions. But I think in the end, you kind of do your research of who has published the type of books that you have published before. Do you like it? Do you not like it? Are you trying to follow some kind of paradigm, or are you trying to break out and do something completely fresh? And then it's also like there's physical limitations to how big a cookbook can be for it to be usable. So if you're writing a book that has a lot of text, I mean, for me, I feel like I want to be able to pick it up and read it like a novel. Like if you're writing a huge headnote that talks about like, you know, your family and like why this recipe is super meaningful, like you don't want someone to have a coffee table book that sits there and, you know, like you have to lean over to read it. So kind of thinking about the physicality of the book as an object. And then, of course, as you're self-publishing, like that cost and all of that comes into play with how big of a book you want to make and how many pages, how many recipes you want to produce, the number of photos that you're going to end up art directing and producing, and then, you know, how much paper is being used for the actual book. So all of those are concerns that I, as a book designer, I'm very well aware of. And then like, you know, we can even go even more into details, like what kind of paper? Is it matte? Is it glossy? So many small considerations that add up. So the earlier you think about it, the more you can write your content to fit your ultimately where you want your book to live, your physical object to live.
Right.
Like if it's a small book, I mean, you can produce coffee table books for sure, but is that where you want your book to live?
Right. And we talked about this a little bit with Kate and Kristen and Andrea and I about blank space on the page and how it, or you don't think about it until you don't have it, right? I mean, if the book's too crowded, it's not settling to look at somehow, or if there's too much blank space, you're wondering, why are there all these blank pages, you know?
Yeah. And that's part of the puzzling that I was talking about is like, as a designer, I definitely look at how long the recipe is before deciding on kind of the trim size of what it should be. Like if an author is writing very long head notes, and then also the method is like multiple steps, like 12, 15 steps, that recipe will probably take 3 to 4 pages, which for most home consumers, that's intimidating. Like someone probably won't make that on a weeknight. So kind of like thinking about your audience as actual home cooks using your layouts to cook from, it's different than thinking about it as a, you know, on a web page or like an iPad, like those you can, you know, infinitely scroll. And it's just a different experience when you think of a book, like flipping and like cross-referencing the ingredient list, where the measurements are to the actual method where it's being referenced. How many pages ago was that? Kind of thinking about the puzzle of that. And then, of course, also the puzzle of whether the photo goes along with the first page of your recipe or like different pages. Do you have instructional photography that shows, like if you're making pasta, like how something is specifically rolled? Those are all things that, you know, a book layout is limited in that way. But the earlier you think about it, the better your book will be.
Yeah. So what is one of the first things? Say you get a project, whether it's a completed manuscript or some sample recipes or pages that you're working on, what would be one of the first things?
I think for me, the first thing I look at is typography, just because I'm a big typography nerd. So I start looking at kind of the tone of voice of the author, what they're trying to convey, if there's cultural references to the recipe, where I can get some inspiration for the font that I'm going to pick.
Yep.
And then like making some preliminary choices there, and then looking at the object that I'm trying to make and how much space I have, then I can start thinking, oh, well, I think the layout should be a 3-column, or maybe it's a 2-column. These are the sizes that kind of work for the line length, for the method and the ingredient list and all of that. Yeah. So then it becomes like coming up with one recipe and thinking about, okay, does this look good? Does this work? Once you have one recipe that looks nice and that you think, you know, conveys the cultural references and, you know, tone of voice, the style of the book you want to make, then you start applying it to multiple ones. It's like, is this author writing everything pretty consistently, or is it like all over the place? Like some things are short and then some things are long. Does this work as a system? Like the system I just came up with for one recipe, does that work across the board? And then you go back to your system and like start massaging it and like really run it out. So that's kind of the very, very first step. And then also beyond that is like, how many photos are we talking about? You know, like, will this bulk up the book? Like, do I have to put things on top of the photography, or do they live on their own? I'm sure you've seen some classic books too, where there's like a signature photos instead of, So like, you know, kind of started to think about the structure of the book as a whole. Like, do you want that? Or would you rather the photo live right next to the recipe, which I think is the more modern preference. It's like, you don't want people to have to cross-reference too much. Yeah. I always start with the typography first and then I look at the style of the photography, whether I art directed or whether it comes with the package. And I think sometimes the typography can react very well to the photography too, just based on like, maybe it's super spare and you also want the layouts to be more spare, or maybe it's like kind of crazy and like there's tons of props and there's tons of color, then your layouts kind of react to that as well. Kind of gathering your visual references based on whatever the type of book you're trying to make.
Right. And maybe in some cases, I imagine authors, hopefully they've expressed it through the book, the content itself. They've created a voice and a personality that you are reacting to. But I would imagine that also authors come to it with vision. You know, these are the books I love. These are the books that inspire me. These are the books that feel in my, like you know, we spoke culturally, but also just sort of their context.
Yeah,
well.
Like, especially when authors do a book proposal, you're kind of required to look at your competition. So already you have like a library of things you're either competing against,
sure,
or things you're inspired from. Like maybe you modeled your book, like you really love this encyclopedic baking tome and you're writing another baking tome, but on a different slice of baking, then it's like, oh, okay, then I get it. Then I'll look through that and see like, what are the things? And if I can talk to the author, I'll usually ask the questions like, what is the actual thing you love about it? Is it the layout of like how things are very efficient? Or is it the typography? Is it the photography that you love? So like kind of pinpointing what it is instead of just being like, I love this book. It's like, well, yeah, there's like a lot of things to love about it. Or maybe it's like the weight of the book. Like, I don't know. So if I have access to the author, it's often nice to kind of help them pinpoint why they love this book. Or maybe it's just because of the way something is written. Like I know a lot of people, or I did, I love the Momofuku cookbook because of just the voice of like, it was like, it comes through very effectively and the design stood back from it. And it was a great reading experience, but it also wasn't overly designed.
Right. Which is as much of a design decision as, you know, really in your face design, right?
100%. Yeah. And it, I think it went along with the restaurant and kind of the voice of, you know, the authors.
That's a great point.
Yeah. That's kind of the aim of my cookbook design, at least. I want to have a reason for all the design decisions that I'm making. Yeah. And it's not just me making a book that I think looks cool.
Right. You know, I think you sort of touched on this a little bit already, but obviously trends and the context of competition influences in some way or inspires or your part of your role is to be aware of that, I'm imagining.
Yes. And that's, I would say that's the most fun part of being a cookbook designer is I do look at cookbooks all the time.
Nice.
I look at who's designing which, you know, from which publisher and like trends also even between UK and the US and like kind of being aware of everything out in the world. And you do see trends come and go, like different embellishments or things that like get really popular and then they kind of fade away. And then, yeah, writing styles too. I think nowadays people are just taking a lot more liberties and, you know, diving deeper into the specific, very niche cookbook. Yeah. But I love it because, you know, we've all had tons of baking or like chicken or something, you know, like we want the more cultural references. We want the personal stories. And those are the ones that are exciting to design because there's, you know, like you can bring a bunch of family photos into it and maybe that's part of the design or, you know, like textures and all of that.
Right. Just listening to you talk, I mean, you work on things besides cookbooks too now, especially as a freelancer, right? You work on things besides book design as well.
Yeah, like publication design, which is very similar to book design. And in a way, it's much easier because a cookbook is so many pages, usually it's 200 plus pages, whereas nowadays a publication that's 50 pages, I'm like, oh, that's so easy.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then I do some branding work, things like that. And I would say like, I think book design is related to all of that. Like you can consider your book to be either like a strong part of your brand or it could be its own object. I don't know. I think it's all related in the design world. It's like I'm picking colors, I'm picking typography, I'm picking layouts that speak to somebody's voice.
Yeah. In the end, it creates a feeling. I mean, it creates a reaction, an emotional response as well.
Yeah.
Too.
Well, one, like, it's like designing a book cover. You want someone to just be interested and get it just from the cover to like pick it up. And then once they really interact with it, you want them to like be able to use it functionally, but also really kind of get a sense of your story.
Right.
Just from the look and feel without even reading it. That's the hope.
Yeah. So if I'm right, you studied computer science?
I did, yeah, a long time ago.
At MIT?
Yes, I did.
Okay, so that blows my mind alone. I mean, so how do you get from there to here?
Yeah, you know, like I studied computer science, but I think when I really started working in the field, I didn't really love doing software engineering, which I think is fine. I was always a very visually driven person, but I just never knew graphic design existed as a field. So I ended up taking a bunch of classes at CCA and then ended up going to Art Center for design school and discovering this thing, like you can design books, you can design packaging. editorial, you know, like just all of the fields within graphic design. I was like, oh, I love this. And also really diving deep into typography and the history of calligraphy and all of the things. So yeah, so really diving into that. And then I ended up getting a fellowship at Chronicle Books, which really started me on this journey of doing cookbooks. I had always been into cooking, but I didn't work in restaurants or anything. So I wasn't in the field, but it was really nice that I found this way of doing both book design and cooking, which I still love. So I think you'll probably find most cookbook designers cook a lot and they use a lot of cookbooks themselves. And I think those are the designers you want because they really understand what it takes for a recipe to be very usable. In a kitchen environment, right. Not just in a reading, you know, coffee table book environment, like actually using it.
So. Yeah, that's fascinating. Well, it's just been such a pleasure to talk to you. I really admire your work. And now that I like a little insight into how you do it is just, it's incredibly inspirational. So I just thank you so much for taking the time to talk to us.
Oh, thank you so much. Yeah, I hope this is helpful for someone out there.
Oh, I'm sure it will be. Thanks, Alice.
Thanks.
Thank you for listening to Everything Cookbooks. If you have questions or comments, tag us on Instagram at Everything Cookbooks or send a message through our website, everythingcookbooks.com. Big thanks go to our editor, Abby Circatella. If you have a minute, give us a review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts. This helps more people find the show and builds the Everything Cookbooks community. Be sure to subscribe so you never miss an episode. Thanks for joining. We'll see you next time.